Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Your Health Reset with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally. Today is episode 50, which is so phenomenal. And we are talking about signs and symptoms that your liver may be overloaded. This topic is near and dear to my heart because as soon as I figured out that my liver was actually playing a crucial role in holding where I had plateaued in my health, my healing got to accelerate. And my story went from somebody being too fragile to handle anything, too fragile to withstand a normal protocol, too fragile to withstand life, to finally starting to make some serious progress on my health challenges. And Michael was the same way. He had very different symptoms than I did, and he was certainly at the opposite end of the spectrum in many ways of looking at our health issues, but the liver turned out to be a huge issue for him as well. So let's talk about what those early signs might be for you, because in actuality, the liver doesn't tell you early on if it's under distress. So we really want to understand, what does the liver do for the body and how does that become compromised when your liver becomes overloaded? And what are those signs and symptoms that may not show up on labs? In fact, your liver can be reduced to as little as 60% efficiency and still appear within normal ranges on traditional lab values. So that's really interesting. And that's when we start going to the symptomology to understand how your liver might be talking to you, because it's very rare that you will actually experience localized liver pain. It's often more common that you would see side effects and downstream effects of liver stagnation in other systems of the body. And if you're experiencing liver pain or gallbladder pain, it might not be about stones themselves, although it certainly could be. The liver is just as capable of creating and holding stones as the gallbladder, whether they're cholesterol-based and softer or mineral-based and quite hard and compacted. And yet the biggest factor in liver pain, it can be liver flukes, and those can be parasites, right? Liver flukes are trematodes. The common word for those is flukes, and they actually have a very long life cycle in the body. The CDC says that liver flukes can live for 20 to 25 years in an adult human, and that's quite the life cycle. They often come in on food. If you're saying to yourself, but I haven't been to Bali or Mexico lately, and I have liver pain, you probably got stuff from food. And that could have been decades ago, and they could take a long time to set up shop. But where we see liver stagnation, we often see flukes and vice versa, because flukes will contribute to stagnation. They love a stagnant environment in the liver. That's when they thrive. They get to snack for longer. They get to rule the roost. So if you're actually having local liver pain, it might be stones. It might be congested, sluggish bile. And there might be a parasite component for you. So it's definitely something to explore further. I've seen many a liver fluke come out from my own liver cleanses and flushes and protocols and things. And certainly all of our students have helped us build quite the robust picture library of these guys, because there's so many different subspecies of them. Super fascinating. So before we dive into that anymore, I just had to have that fun little aside about flukes, because I think they are so interesting, and they're so often misunderstood and overlooked. Let's talk about functions of the liver so that we understand better where the signs and symptoms of the liver might actually be showing up, even if your values on your labs look fine. So first of all, we have to understand that the liver's not just doing detox work for the body. It's true. That's a super important component. The liver is one of the main eumunctories, which is organs that process waste and eliminate and detox for the body. Cannot function without it. It's one of the reasons why the liver is so resilient, is it can regenerate itself within just a matter of 6 weeks, which is just phenomenal. And yet these liver conditions persist. Now, why would that be? Partially because just the sheer number of jobs that the liver has to do for us. It has over 500 functions in the body, simultaneously often doing up to 200 jobs at one time. And that includes aiding in digestion of fats and sugars, regulating amino acids. So a lot of food-oriented jobs to actually help you to use and process the food coming in. This is especially true for sugars, like fructose we think of as a healthier sugar, but actually it has to be processed entirely by the liver. Sucrose can be processed in part by the rest of the body and only has to do, then the liver does contributes to that job, but is not solely responsible for it. So in some ways, the liver gets really overloaded with our high sugar diet right off the bat. And then if we're adding in rancid oils in with our diet regularly, which is very common in the SAD diet, standard American diet, yeah, it's going to be hard on the liver. So rancid oils might look like seed oils, industrially processed oils, like sunflower, canola, which is really just rapeseed, not a cool name. And you could see why they wanted to do a little rebranding on there. Those are so heavily processed that they really do not resemble anything coming out of a food themselves. There's so many additives. They have to bleach them and sterilize the odor from the rancid oils as they go through the factory. We'll have a whole other separate episode on what rancid oils do to the body, but they're really hard on the liver and they can slow down your function for sure. So we're already starting to notice like, oh, okay, there might be some reasons why the liver might be overloaded, even just in the food absorption part of this, right? It really is key to understand that the liver supports crucial nutrients and minerals in actually absorbing them and storing them. So that includes things like your vitamins D, E, K, all of the fat-soluble vitamins. You must have happy, free-flowing bile to efficiently pick that up. Companion minerals that are really essential, for example, for bone strength, like calcium, not going to absorb that well if you don't have happy, free-flowing bile. And bile is that liquid gold detergent that the liver makes and is then stored in the gallbladder. So that you can think of it, the gallbladder as a tiny purse or a catcher's mitt, holding on to this really valuable bile substance, condensing it, shifting the pH of it, fine-tuning the composition of bile itself after the liver has made it, and then ready to release it into the small intestine, right when it's needed to meet stomach acid and the newly digested food that's coming from the stomach down into the small intestine to continue the digestion process. So healthy, free-flowing bile that the liver makes and then is stored in the gallbladder is essential for your health. It's essential for breaking down fats and absorbing nutrients. And yet it's not going to function well if we have been overloaded by toxins. That's going to start dropping bile salts out of this delicate chemistry where bile salts are suspended in liquid with just the right pH and everything, except for when they run into these toxins, the wrong pH, super irritable, highly inflammatory. This is when you start to see bile salts drop out of that beautiful free-flowing liquid form. They start to get viscous and sluggish, and they start to move slower. And your liver is made of this gorgeous 2,000-mile network of biliary ducts that actually is shaped like a tree. So if your liver is a giant triangle on the upper right side of your torso, within that, you have this beautiful biliary tree where you have very fine branches and twigs all the way at the top, transitioning down further into thicker branches all the way down into the biliary tree trunk. You're going to get slower moving bile in all those really delicate areas in those finer bile ducts, which is going to definitely add up and start impacting bile flow downstream. That's going to dysregulate further the regulation of your amino acids, for example. It's going to really impact the liver's ability to clean your blood, and it's definitely going to slow down your liver's ability to convert and process hormones. That's a really important thing to understand right there, because you can already highlight the liver's intimate relationship with the thyroid, for example, can't convert that T4 to T3 in the liver, which is where most of that happens, unless you have a happy liver, right? So you might think you have thyroid issues, and they're actually liver issues, or at least in part, intricately linked, at the very least, to your liver being overloaded. You might think you have hormone issues. Oh, my sex hormones are off. I'm estrogen dominant. Why is that? Actually, it could just be that you have been exposed to some xenoestrogens. Xenoestrogens are synthetic, pretend estrogens that are chemicals that are in our food, air, and water every day. The contamination ship has sailed. They're actively getting added in terms of processing of different products. And they're also just in the water system now because it's so difficult to process them And our municipal water just really was not designed to manage these guys. So it comes down to the liver. It's the liver's job to break down old estrogens and to flush them out. And we think that, oh, okay, so the liver knows how to do that. It should be able to break down xenoestrogens. Not so much. That's actually really difficult to break down those toxic chemicals into even more toxic metabolites and then out to reprocess through the bile and in some cases through the kidneys. So the liver is always deciding, where do toxins go? Can I break this up? Should this go into the bile and get released through the small intestine, which is the easiest way for the body to release old materials and toxins? Or do they have to go through the kidneys because they're water soluble and there's going to be this overflow into the kidneys? The liver always wants to protect the kidneys because the kidneys are not as resilient as the digestive tract. So wherever possible, the liver is going to decide, yep, it's going out through the bile. That's going to get dumped into the small intestine, and we're going to do our best to release from there out through the bowels. Here's the problem, though. The liver actually has a hard time building bile. It's expensive to make. So we want to always reuse the body's bile salts, and they get recirculated back to the liver with toxins still attached to them. Some studies show 95%, and some even show 97% of bile salts get recycled instead of flushed out and built in building new bile with new bile salts. So that makes sense that we would start having this sort of recirculation inflammatory effect. And if you have this buildup and distressed, distorted reproductive hormone situation where you're estrogen dominant, you're absolutely going to start to see reproductive hormone issues for females, especially with our cycle. You might be blaming things, oh, my period, oh, my reproductive organs really have the short end of the stick. My mom had the same problem. Did you both have the same problem, or were you both exposed to toxins of different types at different ages? Was your liver just overloaded? Both of you. We want to start unhooking from this gene theory of it happened to my mom, or it happened to my sister, or I saw it in my grandpa, so it must happen to me too, because that's a default answer that most people turn to instead of asking, why is that? Because genes are only 5, maximum 15% of the body's outcome. And a lot more has to do with what you've been exposed to and what your body's in a position to deal with, right? The kind of diet that you ask your body to deal with and whether or not you're able to absorb and process your nutrients. So from here, we start to really understand why we would have downstream effects. If bile is so important and your bile ducts are clogged up, and your liver can't process your hormones correctly, you're going to start to see thyroid issues, reproductive issues. You're going to start to experience fatigue, right? And you're going to experience full body inflammation where you're actually aging in fast forward if you're not able to clean out your blood as fast and as efficiently as your liver would like to. And that makes total sense. And then we're also thinking about, oh, okay, so our ability to digest and absorb food is impacted, so our blood sugar levels might be going up and down a little bit more as the liver is getting impacted in its efficiency. And you might even see a lot of downstream digestive issues. So we get so many people in our practice coming to us, and I'm guilty of this. It's happened to me. It's, oh, I have a problem with my stomach. I have a problem with my small intestine. I bloat after food. I get pain. I get discomfort. I get nauseous. I have GERD. I have food sensitivities that get worse over time. I'm starting to get skin issues, whether it's acne with my cycle or more pronounced issues like autoimmune-driven skin issues like eczema, psoriasis. All of that can point upstream to the liver. Because if the liver is actually functioning and you have healthy bile flow and bile is dumping into the small intestine with ease, you're able to absorb your food better and you're able to be more resilient. And you have happy, healthy peristalsis. So that's when the gut has this beautiful motility throughout the small intestine and throughout the colon, right? You have a lovely migrating motor response where you're moving food through the digestive tract with ease until it's time to move out waste. And if your bile's not flowing well, you can absolutely have a serious issue with that, especially because if your bile gets sluggish and your liver or your gallbladder is impacted, then your stomach acid starts turning down the heat. You start making less stomach acid because the bile can't meet it at the bottom of the stomach to the level that your body would like in order to stay safe. So then you get a huge buildup of digestive issues. Oh man, it is rough. And we go into that in depth further in an earlier episode. So let's focus more on some of these signs and symptoms so you know how to deal with them. You might also get histamine sensitivities because of liver being overloaded. Now, why would that be? So histamine is actually in large part broken down and regulated by the liver, and you might have a major parasite issue where parasites are contributing and dumping histamine. You might become more sensitive to histamine foods as a result. You may have been exposed to mold, or you may be living in a high EMF environment that's all driving histamine up. But if the liver can't keep up, you're going to get more and more sensitive. That absolutely happened to Michael, and it was a big part of his aha around his liver needing help. He actually couldn't take a deep breath until he did a series of liver flushes. And I had always bugged him about his breathing. It's like, it's hard to be healthy when you can't take a deep breath. Breathe deep, use your diaphragm. And I would show him how and give him breathing exercises. I was calling him out on this like early in our dating. Dude, you have got to breathe. But actually he wasn't in a position to because his liver was so enlarged. And why would that have been for such a young guy, such a young, healthy guy otherwise, obsessed with his health? Jesus, guys, tried absolutely everything under the sun from his late teens on. It's just been his primary focus in his life. So what was going on there? Well, he actually had skin issues and he had early Accutane. And that is another reason why your liver might have been overloaded from a young age or any age that you're taking pharmaceuticals. So it's not have to be recreational drugs. Pharmaceutical drugs are extremely toxic to the liver. And you often hear that from your doctor in an aside, like, oh yeah, you might need this, but it is, just so you know, hard on the liver. What does that mean? It means that the liver is not in a position to break down what you are forcing on it. And that damage adds up over time. You can actually get scarring in the liver because of this issue. And you're definitely going to get toxic sluggish bile and potentially a buildup of stones in both the liver and the gallbladder. Gallstones just means, gall means bile. So gallstones don't have to be just in the gallbladder. They may be in the liver as well. And they may not be dense enough to pick them up easily on imaging like ultrasounds, x-rays, etc. So you can be full of stones and not know it, but your skin is overloaded. You're having rashes and it's really tough on you. You might notice flares after eating the wrong foods. You might have bloating and digestive issues you're blaming on your small intestine, because that's where you're experiencing it, or you're experiencing constipation or diarrhea. But actually all starts with the liver being overloaded. Difficulty sleeping is another one, where you might have serious issues with achieving deep quality sleep and being able to sleep through the night. You may be often waking up between the times of 1 and 3 a.m. And that is according to the orrery clock, which is in traditional Chinese medicine, when we map out which meridian is strongest at which time period of the day. That's when the liver should be working the hardest, when you are deep asleep. You're building your complex detox enzyme chains as soon as you fall asleep, as long as you're not in too high EMF environment. And you should be flushing things out like crazy, regenerating your tissue while you're asleep. And if you can't achieve deep rest, it's so paradoxical and it's frustrating as hell for our clients and our students, because it's very difficult to heal when you can't rest. But you actually have to be healthy enough to sleep. To achieve deep sleep, you need to be healthy enough. You need to be able to absorb nutrients that you must have in order to achieve deep sleep, which absolutely can be impacted by liver health. And you have to be able to regenerate tissue while you're sleeping. You simply cannot heal fast enough to keep up with bad sleep. Super interesting paradox. And a lot of that can be due to liver issues. And also, if you're going to sleep too late at night, you want to be asleep before the gallbladder takes over. The gallbladder's moving in and working hard. It should be top of the list from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. You must already be asleep in order to achieve phenomenal health. And that's a real tough one for some folks. If you don't get to bed before then, you may experience less than optimal sleep. So let's look at some other issues that we haven't covered yet about the liver. This should go without saying, but I'm just going to wrap this in a nice, neat bow. Everything that we've been discussing about all the different ways the liver can be impacted and all the signs of liver distress can add up to a slow metabolism. So one of the best things you can do for yourself if you're frustrated with your body not having a happy, healthy metabolic rate is to actually do some deep liver destagnation. And that's, you know what, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because, man, this episode would be so long. We'll talk about what to do with the liver issues you have in a later episode, because Not all liver cleanses are created equal. Most of them suck. They're total garbage. Sorry, but that's just the truth of it. And so we need to think about what does the liver need to be successful? But first, let's figure out what to spot so we know what's going on. So we covered gas, we covered bloating, skin blemishes, rashes, excess weight. That makes sense, right? Because of the slow metabolic issues. Fatigue and feeling sluggish, that almost goes without saying, right? If your liver's not functioning right, if you have built up of inflammation, if you're not healing fast enough and resting deeply enough because your liver is overloaded, of course you're going to be fatigued and sluggish. And then, of course, you're going to have some skin irritation, chemical sensitivities, because if the liver is not functioning at peak efficiency, one of the ways that your bucket overflows is through the skin. And of course, your lymphatics are going to be affected by the liver not functioning well, because your lymph is going to dump after doing this beautiful flushing work throughout the body, deep in the tissues. It's going to dump out into the bloodstream right above the liver so that the liver can go to work, flushing out what your lymph has gathered, essentially, and get out of the body. And if the liver's not efficient, your body's actually going to start adding in lymph fluid. That's one of your body's protective mechanisms. So you may not be holding onto as much fat as you think you are. And often one of the things that we see for people who are holding excess weight with liver issues, they get thrilled when they're like dumping inflammatory weight at the beginning of their liver work. And it's not quote unquote water weight so much as it is lymph fluid that your body can finally let go of because it doesn't have to dilute the toxins and compensate. Advanced cirrhosis cases, we've seen as much as 30 times the healthy amount of lymph fluid that should be in the body because the liver simply is not able to keep up. So what are you going to do? You're going to dilute the problems that are there in hopes that the body has a chance to catch up down the road. So I hope you can understand why this is such a thrilling area of clinical practice. I don't care that it doesn't sound edgy. What I want is for people to get better. I'm not a scientific pioneer. I am a healer. I'm a clinician. I'm a teacher. And I'm an artist at life, probably in that order. And if you are listening to this podcast, chances are you are too. And this is such a practical area where we can take control that does not have to be in a doctor's office. This does not have to wait until an acute situation. And even if you're in an acute situation, there are lots of options for you when it comes to liver and gallbladder issues, like a surprising amount. And what I love about working deep in the liver is that you actually get to reclaim a sense of who you really are. I absolutely got more of my intuition back as I was reclaiming my liver efficiency. It was a super weird thing because I wasn't so blocked up. When you're blocked up in the liver, you tend towards irritability, towards overwhelm, towards anger. You can run really hot, really fast. I certainly did. And people will blame it on my red hair, but that's not even close to the issue. The problem was I had a buildup of an overloaded liver, which is in traditional Chinese medicine. The organ of the liver is correlated with the energy of anger. And I actually recorded a podcast episode recently for you. I really encourage you to check it out if you personally experience anger issues, because there's such a gift in this energy if we understand how to work with it and how to continue the healing process from there. So you never have to feel stuck if you have liver issues. And that really is the default, is to feel stuck and overwhelmed. Sorry, that's absolutely optional. So I hope that you got something out of looking at the liver and this list of symptoms that so often get overlooked. I call it the great liver masquerade, because the liver doesn't always shout at us from the organ itself. Like I said, you might have pain there, but it might be from stones or from liver flukes themselves. You might get a pinging in the gallbladder, which is nested right up underneath the liver. But more often than not, you're going to be able to tell that you have a liver issue if you have a constellation of these symptoms. So if you're curious about that, we actually created a free liver assessment for you. And you can follow us on Instagram at Detox Rejuvenation and ask us in the DMs for this liver stagnation self-assessment, because it's a free way to just check, hey, where do I score on this? How many of these issues are actually showing up for me on a regular basis? And that can invite you into a deeper layer of work from there. So if you know somebody livery, or if you want to explain what you've been going through on your liver health journey, please share this episode. We'd love to invite your loved ones into our community. And I hope that you are enjoying your liver and all of its magic. and really committing to supporting it for the long term. Because I got to tell you, a bunch of milk thistle ain't going to cut it. Supplementing with glutathione is not enough. This is not what the liver needs right now. It needs us to understand how much it's being overloaded by these root cause exposures that we nerd out about here at Detox Rejuvenation, and what can be done to support the liver in offloading. We're never going to outsmart the body. The liver already knows what to do. It just needs some targeted support in order to catch up with this backlog so that you can be who you really came here to be, so that you can experience high energy, gentle emotional resilience, lots of patience and creativity, deep sleep, happy, healthy skin. You can age backwards. I absolutely did. I was getting mistaken for being in my early 60s when I was 31. That was absolutely terrifying. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody because I was in so much pain. I certainly hope that none of you are going through that. But when I look at the different avatars of people who have come through with liver issues, they often think, oh, I have a really bad chronic gut condition. And Western medicine has failed me, and natural medicine or natural health was just not enough. It was a nice idea, but it really didn't move the needle. What can you do for me? How can you help? And one of the key ways we do that is to assess liver stagnation and help you through that piece. It's so important. Skin conditions, same thing. Emotional issues, reproductive issues. This is why we have ended up here, because when Michael took a deep breath for the first time after offloading these goose eggs from, I think it was his second liver flush, with no pain whatsoever, my neck hair literally stood on end. It was this huge wake-up moment of, wait a minute, he couldn't take a deep breath this entire time, so his whole health picture has been completely impacted by this early decision to take Accutane, and his liver got overloaded from this young age. How many millions of people does that describe? And there's, over 100,000 chemicals now that have been approved for use in the U.S.? And Accutane is just one pharmaceutical. What are we doing to ourselves? How have we gotten here? If you look at our culture today, what has happened to us? We're blaming social media. We're blaming Twitter and Instagram and cable news for this polarized culture that we have, this overreactivity, this lack of sensitivity and emotional resilience, this emotional fragility. It's almost like a competition. It feels like sometimes who can be the most emotionally fragile, and that's who wins. But if you do the deep liver work and you watch people reclaim emotional resilience on a regular basis, you know just how temporary that can be. So I hope that you take this to heart. I hope you get excited about your liver journey. We'll be sharing so much more about liver health and how to take control into your own hands over the next few weeks. And we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.